You know, when you're doing long drives and you've just come from a full day of meeting new people, new faces, new engagements, I follow a lot of the Zig Ziglar, follow a lot of the Robert Kiyosaki, even his wife as the author, where they illustrate it's not just the four quadrants. It's the mindset and the adaptation of having self-talk. Self-talk is constructive criticism within yourself. Because if you always chase other people, you'll truly never reach your destination. But if you chase yourself, if you chase the version of yourself now and the person you want to be a year from now, there is something to chase. There's something realistic. Well, one of the things I fundamentally think about, and it's in a variance between what's real in medicine and what's real in sales, is are we empathetic and actively listening to our customer base, our client? Sales is it's a game. You know, people don't like to be sold, but within not wanting to be sold, there is the absolute value that people want to be sold. Nobody, essentially no one, wants to be ridden of dollars in their pocket, their account, their wallet, if it means an absolution of value. There's a reason they call it a value proposition. What are you proposing in exchange for my money? And we look at different trigger terms. Some people say cost. Cost is a negative. Don't be in the negative space. Investment. Investment solidifies. Number one, this is their choice. This is your opportunity to invest. That's a positive. Number two, you're solidifying an ROI. Return on investment is not about cost. It's about opportunity cost. If you do this, then you do that. It's the ad hoc theory and relationship. So ad hoc is if-then relationship. What does that mean? It's a pure benefit analysis. If you decide today to invest $35,000 into Tesla, your potential rate of return is going to be over 15%. Now, those are numbers, but what does that mean to the person investing? Same thing with a house. You know, Mr. and Mrs. Buyer, when you decide to invest into the property we have found for you, I want to make you apparent that within 12 to 18 months of home ownership within your zip code, homeowners are generally seeing a 2 to 4% increase in return on their money. That means if you are looking to invest $400,000 into this home, I can assure you, and you can have assurance in the fact that you are going to be seeing a few thousand dollars return on investment plus the additional values that the property increases based on the functionality and the likelihood that people would fall in love with your home should you put it up for sale. You know, what does that mean to you? Or can you see the value in that? A lot of times what do? Is we create puffery. We talk people out of something they want for themselves because we think it's expensive. That's another negative term. Is $400,000 expensive? Comparable to a market, it's above average. But what does expensive mean to that home buyer? Maybe this is a point in their life where they really would like a $600,000 home, but financing only allowed for a $400,000 home. Are they getting any less of a home? Maybe not to them. So think of things in terms of, we understand you would like to be in the range of $600,000 on investment. That would be a great return on your money. Good news here is that the bank, the mortgage company, has approved you for $400,000. You get that approval. You get to pick the home that we discussed, that I showed you. What do you think about that? So turn that $200,000 lost opportunity into a positive that the customer gets exactly what it is that they want. How does that happen? You build expectations. We consider those pre-closes. We consider those price conditioning. These are things that people think you're not trained on, and you really are trained on it. And over time, repetition, over experience, over years and years of selling, it becomes systematic to you where you are actually able to have a generic conversation that is also tailored and based upon each customer's benefit and needs and analysis. So you don't sound robotic. Now let's talk about what goes wrong in a sales call. Number one, you're looking at it as a sales call. Number two, you're not prepared. Some people would say, I don't need to prepare, I'm always great. That's not true. Some of the best athletes in the world not only prepare the day of, they prepare the week of, they prepare the night of. They're always in preparation because it allows you to foreshadow the next steps. Maybe you're confident in yourself, but maybe you're not aware of how many different types of buyers and sellers that are out there, and they're going to put you on the spot and they're going to take ownership of that conversation. Do you have the skill set to be malleable? Can you also be a controller without making people feel that you're abusing the position that they allow? Once again, another example. Couple sits down in front of you and they tell you, this is what we want. We're not going to accept anything less than this. We've already spoken to our lender. Our lender's approved us for this. So we don't want to just see any homes. This is what we want to see. Okay. First off, you don't believe them because you buyers are liars. So that's number one. And it's conditional. Second thing is look at the proof. You're not judging them based on what they're presenting. What you need to do is find out, how did they get that information? What did they research? Who's the lender that they contacted? Why is it important for them to have this now? If you don't find this out and you fall short on meeting their demand, you'll have nothing to come back on. So you don't want to play the blame game, but you also don't want to be trying to rebuild a pyramid when you never started to learn how to assemble the first blocks. So the first thing you say is, that's fantastic. A lot of my buyers do not take the time to go through this. I'm really glad that you did. Let me ask you a few questions just to make sure we're on the same page and our information will line up. Ask this question, ask that question. Then, without making it sound like you're interrogating them, make it conversational. You know, would you mind or would you be interested in maybe speaking to one of my private lenders? I want to see if this is the best deal that we can get for you or if this is what's available to you. It's only to benefit you. What are your thoughts? Yeah, absolutely. Okay, great. Also, I also want to make sure that I understand. So this is exactly what you're looking for. So if I showed you a 4-bedroom, 5-bath house, this wouldn't be of interest to you? Well, maybe they didn't think of that. Now they're going to say, well, I mean, you know, if it fits the rest of our criteria, I really wouldn't mind having an additional bedroom. Okay, great. You're agreeing with presenting options because you're taking control of the conversation. Confidence is what kills a sale when you don't have it. It also is what kills any relationship. If you don't have confidence in your personal relationships, you will never have confidence in your professional ones. So you don't want to be demanding, you don't want to be controlling, but you want to be a professional. You want to show confidence because ultimately you're the one with the knowledge. They're the ones that are coming to you for help. They just don't know they need your help yet. Make that a very fun experience for them. Now we're going to go into medicine. The first, God, every single month in my career, I can tell you off my hand, how many physicians and even nurses have challenged me on, well, we don't do that. And just that language. Well, we don't do that. We don't believe in doing prostate exams right now with 30-year-old men. I don't get abusive. I don't get abrasive. I just say, listen, maybe you're not aware. I'm here to educate you. The CDC has come out with guidelines. These guidelines are now supported by data that we just had roll in the last few months. Maybe somebody hasn't come in and said something to you. Maybe they were afraid to tell you how to do your job. I'm not here to do that. I'm here to help you, give you information. So this is what I'm going to share with you, and then I want your thoughts. Sound good? Thanks. I don't even ask for their freaking permission. I tell them that I'm going to tell them something, present information, and then when I am done, I will then answer their questions. Why? Because if I don't get through what I have to say, I'm going to forget something and it's going to fall on my ass, which is going to look unprofessional. It's going to harm a patient. It's not something I'm willing to do. So I'm going to say, listen, from age range of 25 to 40 years old, across the United States, there were 37 clinics of specialty that participated in this endocrine clinical trial. And it shows that 15% of patients with a healthy BMI, a healthy blood level range, ended up in a pre-screen risk for prostate cancer. Doctor, would you agree that the prognosis for prostate cancer is more efficient, higher survivability percentage, the younger and the earlier we find it? Now you shut the hell up and you let the doctors answer the questions. If the doctors don't answer it, you say, nurse, you're generally the one that does these tests, correct? Yes or no? Yes. Excellent. Would you please communicate to your doctor what your opinion is on the fact that if we test earlier, if we make it more convenient for the patient, we are going to ultimately save lives? Can you agree to that? Yes or no? I don't give them open-ended questions. I don't say, nurse, what would you do here? Because now what you're doing is you're interfering between a nurse and a physician relationship. You got to remember, you're not there to play games. I'm not there to play games. I'm not there to find out if the doctor plays golf. I could give a shit. What I'm there to do is be the best professional I can, because at the end of the day, there's a guy that's getting a finger stuck in his ass at 31 years old who is scared, terrified that the doctor is going to say, we found potential cancer. That's the scariest thing that I can have happen. But the best thing is that, listen, I know you're scared that we may have found cancer and we got to do a biopsy, but I want to let you know, there is a really good prognosis at 31 years old. If we would have waited till 37, 40 years old, we would have had ultimately a very different prognosis for you in conversation. And I'm going to end it on that note, but that's the difference between a sales professional and somebody that is just, I don't know, not trained. They don't care enough about the job. They don't care enough about what they're really trying to correct in the market. I didn't get into medical sales to make a lot of money. I didn't get into medical sales to have a title. And I did not get in medical sales to throw my weight around. For me personally, I was very happy in dental. For me personally, when I found out that after seeing dermatologist after dermatologist and every one of them telling my mother she's fine, she looks beautiful, her skin's great, then to find out that she had a fucking melanoma on her back, I don't even want to tell you how frustrated I was. I don't know about you, but God only gives you one mother, and I will do anything in my power to protect her life because she sacrificed everything for mine. From when I was a kid to almost the three times I died as an adult into my teenage years. God only gives you one mother. And when all of these doctors who pat themselves on the back miss something as easy as a melanoma, not a basal cell carcinoma that's a preliminary stage, a freaking melanoma, and it's the deadliest skin cancer that you can have. It's deadlier than most cancers, period. That just makes you want to get into that position and start telling people how the hell to do their jobs. And I'll never apologize for that. And I have happily, at the age of 31 years old, with a team, I have saved more than 5,000 women from certain cancers, breast cancer, cervical cancer, ovarian cancer. That makes me proud. And what I think about is, why didn't we save 10,000? So share your thoughts. But that is an overview of sales training into medical, into real estate, and they all apply in different manners. All right.